for us to begin this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence. We will go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer in just a moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you have given us, another Lord's Day. We're always thankful for these days that we have to be together and to worship you and to sing praises unto your great and holy name, to remember the sacrifice of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Heavenly Father, always to be mindful of what he endured for us, not just on these Lord's days when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but that every day of our lives we'll be mindful of what he gave up and what he had to endure. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for all that you do for us, for your providential care, the word that you have given us to study and to apply to our lives. We're thankful for the provisions that we have physically and spiritually. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit and the guidance that he gives us through your word. Help us to be thankful for all that we have through you and your Son, Jesus. We pray that you'll continue to bless this congregation, be with those of our number who are struggling physically. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help them to get better. We know that prayer is powerful and that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we continue to pray for them. We pray, Heavenly Father, and we're thankful for the progress that Jeremy is making. We pray that you'll bless him, continue to help him to get better. And we pray that nothing more will happen, but that you'll keep your arm protection around him. We're thankful for the elders of this congregation. We pray as always that you'll be with them and help them to make decisions that are in our best interest. We continue to pray for their good health and well-being, as well as their families. And we pray for all of the brethren of this congregation. We're thankful that we have good men here who perhaps someday will be able to occupy the office of elder and deacon and teach class and do those kind of things. We're thankful for the talent that we have here. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the sisters of this congregation and their strength and their spiritual mindedness and their support of their husbands. And we pray that you'll be with them as they manage the homes and raise the children in such a way that will be pleasing to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, as a congregation then, that we will continue to do everything we can to reach our full potential and to be a blessing to this community. Help us to reach out. And we pray in our evangelistic efforts that good things will happen and that souls will be saved. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and give you all glory and honor in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. This is where we are. And we are starting a new section, as you know. I think I may have pointed out before that we have kind of markers with regard to that, that Paul in this particular section of the letter as he's answering questions will often begin with the words that he begins chapter 8 and verse 1 with, now concerning. And just to let us know that he's moving on from what he was talking about in the questions that he had answered. You remember back in chapter 7 at verse 1, he says, now concerning the matters about which you wrote. And so obviously he there was dealing with the marriage questions, which we have already dealt with. And this, he first started dealing with these questions in chapter 7. And so he spells out exactly what he's beginning to do, the matters about which you wrote. He doesn't say that every time, but he does use that formula. Now concerning, in verse 25, he's still dealing with the marriage question, but he moves on to a different subject within that subject. He says, now concerning the betrothed. He deals with that. And then, of course, in Acts chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 8, our passage. But if you just thumb through quickly through this later on, he's going to deal with what he's dealing with at the beginning of chapter 8, actually, for the next three chapters. But then in chapter 12, he moves on to something else. And so in chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And you can get out of concordance and you can look at the same thing. He does the same thing in 1 Corinthians. I don't know why I have Acts in my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when he moves on to another subject with regard to giving, he uses that same formula. And that kind of helps us to realize that he's moving on from one set of questions to some other ones. So now that's what he does in chapter 8, and he's dealing with the business of eating meat that has been sacrificed to idols. And so he says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. And so he begins dealing with this. And the subject really has to do not only with eating meat that have been sacrificed to idols, but really has to do with where they wanted to eat that meat. That is the idol's temple. And so there's a couple of related subjects that are going on that they had some questions about. And so he'll deal with that as he goes on. But notice again, if you have a modern translation, all of us possess knowledge is in quotation marks in the ESV. I'm sure probably the American or New American Standard. But that lets us know that he's quoting someone. And in this case, he's quoting them. This idea that they had knowledge was coming from them. And they did have a certain degree of knowledge with regard to these idols. They knew that idols were nothing. That is, many of them knew that idols were nothing. And so they had that knowledge, but they had the wrong attitude towards that knowledge. And they just didn't realize that the answer to problems and situations and how we should act and live in certain circumstances doesn't always boil down to knowledge. Sometimes there's deeper things involved that should dictate how we behave and what we do. But the Corinthians were thinking that knowledge was the answer to everything. Now, we're not really surprised by their attitude towards knowledge. Remember, they're the same group of people who were obsessed with worldly wisdom. And it's not a big leap. If someone is obsessed with wisdom and that sort of thing, you're not shocked then when they also think highly of knowledge, or gnosis is the Greek word. And they thought that was the answer to everything. And again, that's just who they were. But the problem is that it had a tendency to puff up. And they were puffed up. They were arrogant. And we've already seen that, but it's surfacing again here. And what it teaches us is we have to understand the rightful place of knowledge. Is there anything wrong with knowledge? No. We should want knowledge. I've preached on it many times. I encourage you all the time. Study your Bibles. It's important to know God's will. Without knowing God's will, then you're not going to make it to heaven after a while. It's why Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, I believe it is, said, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's important. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but what? Well, how are you going to do God's will if you don't know God's will? You have to know it. And so it's important then to know it so that you can do it. And there's many passages that emphasize Peter, you remember in 2 Peter 1, as he's talking about adding to your faith. What did he say? You add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. So knowledge is a good thing. Even Paul said that we ought to fill our minds. Let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. That's filling our minds with the Word of God. That's important. Don't ever neglect doing that. In fact, one of the problems I think with the church today is that we don't have the level of knowledge that we need to have. That there's a lot of people that are so busy doing other things in life that studying the Word of God gets neglected, and so we don't really know our way around the Word of God like the people of God used to. I think that's a real problem. I think that's a problem with evangelism. It's a problem with being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's amazing to me what we accept now, even sometimes in conservative churches of Christ, that in a lot of it just goes back to not having proper knowledge. So the point of it is, knowledge is a good thing. Do you think Paul knew that? Yes. You know, if you just read the writings of Paul and just keep his statements in a bubble, sometimes you think that he might oppose things that he really doesn't. Just like back in the last chapter, Paul was pro-marriage, but he was telling them not to marry. Why? Because of the present distress. And here, if you just read this, it might seem like, oh, Paul has something against knowledge. No, he had something against the kind of knowledge and the attitude towards knowledge that the Corinthians had. See, if you think knowledge is an end in itself, that's a problem. Because it's not about just accumulating a bunch of facts. And there's a lot of people like that, just even outside of religion. There's a lot of people who just love knowledge. Like they're 50-year-old men still taking college classes. Why? Because they love knowledge. And a lot of times those kind of people, they'll take classes on everything, even the Bible. There are some people that know a whole lot of Scripture, not because they're interested in doing God's will. They just like to accumulate knowledge. They take classes on Christianity and on Judaism and the Muslim faith and world religions, and they accumulate a bunch of facts. And they might know a whole lot, but they don't make application of it. And so they think that just knowledge is so important. The more I know, the better I am. And sometimes that goes to people's head. And even with the Corinthians, they were thinking that because they knew something, in this case, that idols were nothing, that they were superior to some of them who didn't quite have that same knowledge. And so it was just about accumulating knowledge. That's not enough. It's not, I mean, there's a reason. Why is it, do you think, that God wants us to have knowledge? I can think of two reasons right off the top of my head. What's the first reason why? We already talked about it. Obedience to His will. I have a sermon. I may have already preached it. I can't even remember. But why was the Bible written? It wasn't just so that we would know something. I mean, knowing something is good. Knowing God's will is good. But the end purpose of revelation is to get us to be doers of the Word of God. And so obedience to His will. And then, of course, number two, if we know God's will, what can we do with it other than apply it to ourselves? Exactly right. And that should be why we want knowledge, so that we can live right and know ourselves, and that will help us, and so that we can help other people. But if you're just gaining a bunch of knowledge just so that you can say, I know the Word of God, I have knowledge, then the next step from that is almost unquestionably going to be arrogance. And so the more you know, or I know more than them, or I know more than she does or he does. And you know, I think I mentioned to you before where I preached last, before I came here, there was a brother who would pray, and you know, he'd quote like 15 passages in his prayer. Like, okay, we get the point. You know, you've memorized certain parts of the Bible. Wonderful. That he wasn't doing that, that's just showing off. And sometimes we can get in our head, the more we know, the better we are. And if I know more than you, I'm a better Christian than you are. And not the case at all. And so when knowledge becomes an end with itself, it has a tendency to puff up. And that's what Paul is dealing with. There is something far more important than an accumulation of knowledge. And again, I'm not knocking knowledge and accumulating knowledge, but there's something more important, and that is, of course, love. Because love does what? Love builds up. And that's what we should be all about. That's what we should be obsessed with, helping each other. Not trying to determine who's better than who knows more than who, but helping each other make it to heaven, helping each other with our relationship with the Lord, building each other up. And that's what Paul talks about here at the end of verse 2. Love builds up. The Corinthians were clueless about that. Where he's going to spend some time, even though it's not his main point in chapter 13, talking about love, but love builds up. From that standpoint, love is far more valuable. I'd rather you love me than just simply trying to prove to me that you know so much. Love helps. Love builds up. Love edifies. And Paul constantly talked about that. It's like passage after passage in which Paul talks about that, even with regard to how we talk. Remember over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is a familiar verse, I think. Ephesians 4 at verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Paul understood that's important. And so you don't gossip, you're not sarcastic when you're talking to brethren, any of that stuff. You talk in such a way that's going to build up, that's going to be helpful, that's going to edify. In fact, go back over to Romans chapter 15. This is a passage that is actually dealing with the same thing that Paul is dealing with in 1 Corinthians 8. That is the eating of meats, even though he really deals with that in chapter 14 of Romans. It filters into the first few verses of chapter 15. And so he says at verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. That's exactly what the Corinthians weren't doing. That's exactly what they weren't doing. They didn't care about the failings of the weak. Oh, the weak, oh, they don't have knowledge. They should know better, or at least they should know more. So the fact that they're failing in this and don't understand the truths about this, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I can do whatever I want to. Oh, what if they stumble? Well, that's their problem. That's their fault. That's their failing. And so Paul here, he's dealing with a different group of people, but it's the same attitude. Those who are strong here have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his own neighbor for his good. Listen to it. To build him up. And that's really what it's all about. And again, I don't have time to look at all the passages that deal with that. Get a concordance out and you can just follow whatever translation you have. Look up the word edify and see how many times Paul deals with edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Do all things that build up, or all things that edify. All things unto edification. And so that's the important thing. And the application of that, of course, is very important for us here at Brown Street. Because while we're dealing with different issues, as we go through our history as a local church, one of the issues probably is not going to be whether or not we eat meat in an idol's temple. Like, when's the next time you plan to do that? Probably never. So the issues are different here in the 21st century than back then in the first century church, but it's still the same thing. We can't get so caught up with knowledge that it causes us to be arrogant. Instead, our focus should be, how can we build up, brethren? How can we build each other up? And one of the things that helps with that as much as anything is love. So we have to love each other. And that's where the Corinthians were failing. And so Paul, then he goes on in verse 2. Back to chapter 8 at verse 2. And this is interesting. He says, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. Don't you see that in real life? Like, people who think they know so much, they really don't know so much. They just think they know a whole lot. And they might know something in a particular area or field where they're experts in, but a lot of times, listen, there's a lot of people that